So we've talked about sales, where there is now a question whether the sale lasted because the item delivered can't do what the buyer was buying the item for. Our Mishnah deals with the topic of how much impurities are assumed to be accepted within a delivery of an item. So if I buy wheat, how much dirt can there be in the bag of wheat? If I buy figs, how many of the figs can be wormy? And it's just assumed that some of the figs are ruined. Not every piece is going to be perfect. So that's the Mishnah. Amocher peres l'chaveiro, if a person sells fruit to his friend, namely wheat. Harezim akabel olav rova tinofes l'sa. So the buyer assumed there's going to be some loss in it. How much is that? He's going to have a quarter of a kav of, dirty things, impurities, things like hay, etc., for every saw. Now remember, every saw has six kav. So a quarter of a kav means 1/24 of the grains going to be impure. Ta'inim, if a person bought figs, mekabel olav eser mitzulos lemeya. So the normal rate in a package of figs is that 10 of the figs will be wormy out of the 100. 10%, that's a lot. Martev shel yayin, if it's a cellar filled with barrels of wine, mekabel olav eser kosusos lemeya. So you accept 10 vinegary barrels for every 100. Again, it's 10%. Kankanim b'sharon, if it's containers in the sharon, mekabel olav eser pitasos lemeya. He accepts that 10 of them will be somewhat shaky or cracked out of every 100 containers that he orders. So again, the Mishnah is telling us that it is assumed that when a person buys, some of the container that he got may not be perfect. But if it would be more than these amounts, let's say it was more than 1/24 of the container of wheat of impurities, if it was more than 10% of the wine, more than 10% of the barrels, more than 10% of the figs that are ruined, and the person was not willing to buy it, and the deal would have been a mekach taos.
So he doesn't get, he has to ask for a refund? Or?
We're going to see in the Gemara. We'll see. But yeah, presumably you can ask for a refund, exactly. We'll see that in the Gemara, but no, presumably he has to refund the whole thing. The whole deal wasn't there if it's too wormy. He didn't buy something which was too wormy. He was buying figs. So a certain amount of figs, that's understood. But if more than that, then that's not understood. Then already the whole money has to be returned.
Or maybe he bought a cheap quality, you know.
Still, but every amount of figs, you assume there's going to be a, you know, basic usable amount. If there's too much that's wormy and unusable, that he never agreed to buy. Said the Gemara, Tane Rav Katina. Rav Katina taught in a Braisa. Rova, when we talk about a quarter of a kav of impurities, so Rova, that would be true also in terms of kitnios, lisa'a for every sa'a. So 1/24 of the wheat could be legumes. Again, we're seeing here already in the Gemara that there used to be a problem of legumes mixing with wheat. That's why the Ashkenazic custom developed not to eat legumes on Pesach, because the legumes mix with meat, with wheat. So the Braisa says, if you have a quarter of a kav of legumes out of six kav of wheat, that's okay. But if it's more, what are legumes? Things like beans, string beans, chickpeas, kidney oats. Vafrurit, low. So the Gemara says, but actual dust, not. Does that mean that when it comes to actual dust, the person is not willing to accept any dust in the bag of wheat? Ivam Rabba Barchia, but Rabba Barchia from Ktusva said, Mishmei de Rabba, the name of Rabba. So it's an interesting halacha. Haborer tzror migarno shel chavero. If I go into my friend's bag, which has lots of wheat that he's selling, and I pick out of that bag a pebble. So if I take a pebble out of my friend's bag, I caused him a loss. No sein lo deme chitin. I need to give him the money for the wheat. Why? Because if he had the pebble, so then he could sell the bag with the pebble in it. Because you're allowed to have a certain amount of pebbles in the bags. But now that I took the pebble out, so now the bag doesn't weigh what it's supposed to weigh. So he now needs to add wheat to fill it in. He can't add a pebble, because that's dishonest. If the pebbles make their way in, then they could be included in the sale, but he can't add pebbles. So I just caused him a loss. That now, instead of a pebble being sold and getting paid for, he has to put in real wheat. So I need to pay for the wheat that I caused him to have to expend. So you see, though, that if I didn't pick out a pebble, he could sell the bag with the pebble. That's against what you just said in the name of Rav Katina. Rav Katina said that kitnios are accepted, but not pebbles. Here you see pebbles, too, are accepted. So the Gemara says like this, kitnios, the truth is pebbles are also accepted. Kitnios rova. Kitnios are accepted at the rate of a quarter of a kav per sa, per six kavin. However, if ruris, when it comes to pebbles, pachos mi rova, the amount is a little bit less than a quarter that gets accepted. A little bit less than a quarter of a kav gets accepted, but a full quarter of a kav of pebbles would not be accepted.
Rabbi, given that the matzah is made out of wheat,
yes,
right? Okay. Now, that 1/60th rules that we have for, you know, let's say, cheese mixing up with meat. Or,
sure.
Or, okay. Doesn't that 1/60th apply toward chametz into...
It applies before Pesach, but during Pesach, there's a separate rabbinic prohibition, and even a little bit of chametz prohibits the entire mixture.
Even 1/60th?
Even less? Yes, even a little bit. Yes, there's a special...
There's no rule there.
Not 20 grams.
Okay, so the Gemara is like this. So, Afruris Rovalo, is this true that there's a distinction between dirt and kitnios, that kitnios, a buyer will accept a full quarter of a kav, dirt he'll accept only a little bit less than a quarter of a kav. V'atana, we lived in a braisa. Ha-mocher peris l'chaveiro, again, a second braisa. If a person sells wheat to his friend, chitin. So if what was sold was wheat, mekabel olav rova kitnios l'sa, the buyer accepts a quarter of a kav of kitnios per sa, per six kav. So orim, if what was sold was barley, mekabel olav rova nishoves l'sa. Barley accepts a quarter of a kav of hay for every six kav, for every sa. Adashim, but listen to what it says about lentils. If what was sold was lentils, mekabel olav rova afruris l'sa, he accepts it in the sa of lentils that he bought, in the sixth kav that he bought, a quarter of a kav could be dirt. Mekabel olav rova It said rova, not pachos mi rova, it says rova. And the material is afruris, is dirt. So my love, v'adin l'chitim l'sorim. So it sounds like, even if you're buying wheat and barley, you can have a quarter of a kav of dirt. So Rav Katina's rule isn't true. Rav Katina said only kitnios could you have a quarter of a kav of it. Sounds like here, even dirt, you could have a quarter of a kav. So Gemara says, you could have a quarter of a kav in lentils, but not in wheat and barley. Shani adashim, lentils are different. Why are lentils different? Why is a bag of lentils, it's accepted to have some dirt in it? The answer, or have this much dirt in it. Dimiakar akriluhu, lentils are cut in a different way than wheat. When you cut wheat, when you harvest wheat, you come with a sickle, and the sickle slices the kernels of the wheat off the top of the stalks. So there's no reason why there should be dirt in the bag of wheat. But when you cut lentils, you uproot the lentils from the ground. So you're pulling out the whole plant from the ground. You're digging them up. So when digging them up, of course, there's going to be some dirt in it. So therefore, it's lentils where it's expected to have dirt. So then a buyer accepts a quarter of a kav out of the six kav that he gets. He accepts 1/24th of dirt. But in wheat, which are being cut with a knife, not being uprooted from the ground, so there's no expectation for there being so much dirt. He'll accept less than a quarter of a kav, but he won't accept a quarter of a kav. He will accept a quarter of a kav of legumes within the wheat. Chitin are a form of perot. Perot does not mean fruit. So the Gemara now says, Elatayim Adashim, so now you're saying the only reason why in lentils there's an acceptance of a quarter of a kav of dirt, to me, because the lentils get uprooted. But when you have wheat and barley, lo. So then, presumably, you shouldn't accept any dirt in the wheat and barley, because there's no reason for dirt to be in wheat and barley, because the wheat and barley are being cut by a knife, so why should there be dirt in the bag? So tifshit mina, is this a proof? Chiti visari, wheat and barley, dafruris, with some dirt in them, lo makabel, that wheat and barley he doesn't accept, right? This is a proof to what we just said. In wheat and barley, it must be that a quarter of a kav of dirt is not accepted. Because if a quarter of a kav of dirt was accepted in wheat and barley, then we should have said in wheat and barley that the buyer is willing to accept a quarter of a kav. The fact that it said in wheat and barley, other things, it spoke about kitnios, it spoke about hay, whereas in lentils, it spoke about dirt, implying that this law of a quarter of a kav of dirt being accepted is only true in lentils, but in other things not, and in other things, apparently only less than a quarter of a kav would be accepted. So the Gemara says, it's not really a proof. You could read the Brice as saying that even in wheat and barley, a buyer will accept a quarter of a kav of dirt. So then why did it mention lentils? It should have said that law in wheat and barley, and then I would certainly know lentils. The answer is like this. I wanted to tell you the law of lentils, to tell you, I would have thought, since lentils are being uprooted from the ground, and so there's a lot of dirt being kicked up, then yoser mirova, nami lekabel, then a person should be willing to accept even more than a quarter of a kav, because he knows that a lot of dirt was kicked up when getting the bag of lentils together. Kamashmon, so that's the chiddush of the braisa, that even though it's coming directly from the ground, a quarter of a kav is the amount that's accepted and not more than that. But it could be that a quarter of a kav is accepted in wheat and barley too. So this price is not a proof to what Rav Katina said, that in wheat and barley, only less than a quarter of a kav of dirt is accepted. And when we talked about a quarter of a kav being accepted, that's true about kitnios or tinofes, other types of impurities, but not the impurity of dirt. Okay, so now we address Roger's question, which is what happens when the bag of wheat turns out to have too much impurities, too much dirt, too much hay, etc. Too many kitnios. So Amar Rav Huna said like this, Imba Linapos, if the buyer thinks that in these six kav, there's more than a quarter of a kav of kitnios, so he starts to sift, Napa es kulan, he's allowed to sift all of the impurities out, and then the seller has to either replace all of that fully with wheat, or replace it with money, give him back his money. Amila Dina, some say this is based on the basic law, this is the letter of the law. Amila Knasa, some say this is a fine, this law. Why? A fine, a knas. Just, you know, he did something not wrong, so we throw the book at him. We go beyond the letter against him. So Amila Dina, one way to understand this is that this is the basic letter of the law. We'll see, yeah. Yeah, one way to understand this is that it's the letter of the law. A person who gives money for, let's say, a kav of wheat, for a sa of wheat, for a six kav of wheat, he's intending to get six complete sa of wheat without any impurities. Rova lo tarachinish. But once he gets the bag and he sees there's a quarter of a kav, 1/24 of it with kitnios, he says, you know what? This is too much of a hassle to clean out. Amocha. Yosa mirova. But once it's more than 1/24, once there's more than a quarter of a kav of kitnios, so now tarachinish. So now a person's not mochel. A person's going to start cleaning. So once he's cleaning, it's not that big a deal to clean the whole thing, and he never really was willing to accept any of this. So now he's entitled to get all of his money back, or to get the full amount of wheat, that all of that which he pulled out should be replaced with wheat. So kivin de tarach, once he's working, tarach bekula, he's willing to work on the whole thing. So that would be if it's the letter of the law. But amila, some say that this law Rav Huna, which is going to be the point of discussion for the rest of the daf, some say it's a knasa, it's a fine, it's a penalty. Why? Because rova shchiach, that if you collect a sa of wheat, it's normal that on its own, there's going to be some impurities, some hay, some kitnios. A quarter of a kav, 1/24, being impurities, that's normal. However, yoser, to have more than a rova of a kav, lo shchiach, it's not normal. So how did it happen? So this is what Gavriel said. Yehuda Arif, we assume that the seller added impurities. Figured, okay, I'll pull a fast one. I'll add more impurities. Ah, Kevin Arif, if he added. So now, Kansur Rabban Bakula, the rabbis say, hey, you can't do that. So now you get fined. You lose the whole thing. You need to either replace all the money and take the wheat back yourself, or pull in the full amount of wheat that was had other things in it. Replace all of that impurity with good wheat. So now, according to the first version, Rav Huna was saying that based on the letter of the law, once a person is sifting the wheat from the kitnios and he finds that there's more than the amount, so now he's entitled to full reimbursement on the whole thing. So, Meisve, we don't just say, oh, well, once he sifted it down to less than a rova, so now that's it. He can be reimbursed to that point, but the rest he has to accept. We don't say that. So, Meisve, the students in the yeshiva asked in the following Mishnah in Meseches Kilayim, the law of the prohibition of cross-planting seeds. We learned, kalsa, let's say you have a bag of six kav of a certain type. Let's say it was wheat. Sheyesh barova. Now within these six kav, there's a quarter of a kav of another type. A quarter of a kav, let's say, of corn seeds. So mimin acher, of another type. So now, yema'et, you have to reduce the ratio. You've got to take out some more of that corn. Because if the corn is 1/24th and you plant it, you planted two types, and the second type is 1/24th of the larger type, then it's kilayim, then it's considered planting two types. But once you reduce the amount to less than 1/24th, you know, it's only, let's say, 1/50th, so now it's considered just planting the main type. The lesser type would lose its identity. It's not be considered you planted two types. So you should reduce it. Okay? Now, Svarua, they figured in the yeshiva when they're asking this question, Derova de Kalayim, this idea in Kalayim of 1/24th, of a quarter of a kav out of six kav, is kiyosa merova de hacha, is the same as more than a quarter of a kav out of six kav in regards to sales. The Katanya, what did it say? All you need to do is you might, you just need to reduce it. And once you reduce it, it loses its identity. So if that's true in regards to the prohibition of Kalayim, that should be true in regards to a sale as well. So why did Rav Huna say that once there's more than a quarter of a kav, so then all of it has to go out and all of it needs to be replaced? No, just reduce it till the point of a quarter of a kav, and then it should be okay.
Reduce it or add more?
Reduce the amount of impurity. Change the ratio. Change the ratio. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not what's going on here. Rova to kilayim, a quarter of a kav of a different species in regards to the laws of kilayim, ki rova dahachadami. That's like a quarter of a kav of impurities in regards to sale. And in both, that's an amount that's not going to create a prohibition and not going to create a negation of a sale. If that's the case, amayamites, then why do you have to reduce it in kilayim? It's okay, you can just plant it.
I mean, they're saying it's the exact ratio of a quarter?
Yeah, quarter is equal to a quarter.
So we have to be below, what, 4% or so?
Something like 4.5.
Okay, so the Gemara says, so why do you have to reduce it? That's a mishum chumer de kilayim. That's just because kilayim is such a severe prohibition, you can't even get benefit, so then you have to be extra strict. If that's the case, it's just the chumrah of kilayim. Ema seifa, read the end of that mishnah in kilayim. The mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says, it's not enough to reduce that other type of grain, but yivor, you have to take out all of that other grain from the mixture. So now, Iyamet bishlamah, if you're going to say that kiyosimirova tenofas dami, that a quarter of a kav of a separate type is the equivalent of more than a quarter of a kav of an impurity. So now we understand what's the argument. Tana kama savar lo kansina on hetera atu isura. The Tana kama says we don't make him take away that which is less than the quarter because of the quarter. Once you got to less than the quarter, that's already a permissible amount, so that you can leave. Reb Yossi Savri, you have to take out the whole thing out, because Kansinan, he says once there was an amount that was prohibited, even the amount that would have been permitted also has to go. Because we make a knas, we make a fine. Eliamet Kirova Dami. But if you're going to tell me that, no, a quarter of a kav of a different species is the equivalent of a quarter of a kav of impurities. So am I yavur? Why would Rabbi Yossi say you have to take the whole thing out? It's just a chumrah. So because of the chomer of kilayim, you have to take out all of the other type? So Gemara says, yeah. Hasa minor time to Rabbi Yossi. I'll tell you the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi. Mishum demechzi kimakayim kilayim. If he only takes out enough so that he changes the ratio, that other type is now less than a quarter of a kav, and then he stops. So it looks like he wants to leave the mixture together. So it looks like he's actively wanting kilayim to stay. So since in kilayim, part of the prohibition is wanting it to last, This looks like he wants it to last. But really, the quarter of a kav already of the other type is also permitted, me'ikar hadin. Tashma, coming to your proof about this question. We learned in regard to a shomer. We've seen this before. Shnaim shifkiru etzel echad. Two people gave money to a shomer to watch. Zemane, Reuven gave 100. Vezemasayim, Shimon gave 200. But now the watchman forgot who gave him what. So Zelmer Masayim Shali, Reuven says, I gave you the 200. The Zelmer Masayim Shali, and Shimon says, I gave you the 200. So we have here an argument.
Balagan.
It's a balagan. So Tanakama holds, Nosin Lezemana Lezemana. The Shomer gives each one 100. Vashar Yehemunachat Shiavaliyo. And the other 100, we should wait until Yo Anavi comes. Who can tell us who is the one who deserves it? So now, 1 second. 1 second. Why don't we make a knas and say that the guy should lose out even that which we know he gets because he was clearly trying to lie? So let him not get anything. You see that we don't make a knas. So if we don't make a knas, why do you say, in regards to, if we don't make such a knas, in regards to the shomer, so then why did we say over here, in regards to a sale, that once you're cleaning out and reducing the ratio, you need to reduce the ratio all the way, that's what Rav Huna said, why do you need to take out all of the impurity? We don't make a knas. So the answer is like this, Hachi Yashua, what's the comparison? Ha, some over there, Vadai Mana Lamar. Each one is certainly entitled to 100, because each one at least deposited that amount. Hacham, but over here, I'll tell you why we can make a knas and say, okay, you've got to reduce the whole amount. We're not just going to reduce down to less than a rova or to a rova, because mi yemer delav kulei ruvi oriv. Once we are saying that a normal amount is a rova, and here there's more than a rova, maybe there was really nothing here. Maybe there was just wheat, and the seller put all the impurities in. So since it could be that the seller put all the impurities in, it's not like, oh, we know for sure there's a certain amount that we could leave. It's not the case. In regards to returning a deposit, we know for sure each one's entitled to 100. Here we don't know that for sure there can be some impurity. Maybe there really was no impurity originally, and he added all the impurity. So therefore, it's fair to say that based on the knas, we say take out all of the impurity. Tashma, maybe this is a proof. Misefa, the end of the Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Yossi says in regards to the two depositors, if each one gets 100, my hifsid ramai, why would a deceptive person avoid making such a false claim? We say that since one of them is a liar, everything's got to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes, nobody gets anything back. So you see that we prohibit that which is permitted because of the prohibition going on. And I said, no, again, Hachi Hash, what's the comparison? Hasam, in that case, Vada Yika Ramai. One of them is certainly deceptive. So the Rabbi Yossi is very upset. But over here, we don't know that there was deception. We are saying probably there was deception. He probably added impurities because the probable amount is a quarter of a kav. Here there was more. We don't know for sure. Tashma, maybe the following should be a proof. Again, we learned this in Bava Metzia. Shtar sheyesh bo ribis, if a person lends money in the loan document, there is interest. Rabbi Meir says that the lender can't collect the principal either. So again, you see that we prohibit the permitted because of the prohibited. So that would work if you explained Rav Huna saying a knas. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. It's not a proof. Hakiyash, what's the comparison? The moment of writing the loan, you've created the obligation, which is the prohibition. That's the ribis ketzutza. But over here, we don't know for sure that there was a prohibition done. We suspect that this guy added to the rova, but we don't know. Maybe he didn't add. Tashma, maybe this is the proof. Misefa from the end of that. He can still collect the principal. He doesn't collect the interest. You see that you don't prohibit the permitted because of the prohibition. No, Achi Ashu, what's the comparison? There, the principal, that's fine. It's a loan. But here, what are you going to say? He doesn't have to clean out all of the impurities? Why not? Maybe he added all of the impurities. And since he added all of the impurities, maybe the whole thing is a prohibition. There's nothing here to say that maybe part of it was permitted. Maybe it's all prohibited. And therefore, it's not comparable.
What is the kenas? What is
the fine is to make him take all of the impurities back.